I would like to welcome Becky Quick back on the show. Becky is co-anchor of Squawk Box, seen Monday through Friday on CNBC, and she's also anchor of the nationally syndicated On the Money. You know, Becky always gets to the heart of the issues, and when she's conducting interviews of some of the world's richest and most influential investors, and she recently conducted a long interview with Warren Buffett about his most recent shareholder letter, which was published in his annual report. Welcome back to the show, Beck.
Hey, Steve, it's great to be here with you. Thanks for asking.
So this was the 53rd annual letter to shareholders. What was different about this one?
You know, this letter was a little different. He stripped away the boilerplate of things that he's been putting in the letter for years and years, just ways to measure the business, stripped away some of that, and I think made it more of a, kind of a heartfelt letter, trying to help investors understand how to value Berkshire. There's some differences that are taking place. I think the number one was the big changes, the impact from the recent tax legislation that added a lot to Berkshire's bottom line. And then secondly, there are some accounting changes that are going to be put into place. And for a company like Berkshire, which has so many holdings in other companies, the stocks that it owns in so many of the big blue chip companies, that accounting change will kind of skew the bottom line so that you won't have as clear of an idea of what's happening with the operations of the businesses that it owns outright.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that. So first of all, let's talk about the taxes and the tax cut. There was a $29 billion increase, an extra increase in the net worth of Berkshire because of the tax cuts, but it really wasn't in the form of cash. It was kind of in the form of, you know, future deferred liabilities. Can you just talk about that very briefly?
Yeah, I mean, Buffett kind of breaks this down in a way that makes it so easy to understand. The way he looks at it is you own the business, but as a shareholder, for every share you buy, the government was getting 35% of future profits and you were getting 65%. With the changes in the tax law, you know, you get a big increase because the government's going to be taking a smaller part. So,
yeah.
It does make the company more valuable overall. It's a big number. It does skew things a bit. But I hadn't really thought about it that way until Warren Buffett laid it out that way.
I think when you're an owner of a business, you know, the way he looks at it, you know, he's an owner, he's going, hey, this is my money. Oh, but no, 35% is not mine. So, you know, it's a little bit different than many of us think about it. This accounting change, though, I know this stuff sounds boring and I don't want listeners to tune out here. This accounting change is really important, you know, because you said it's going to skew the numbers, and it is going to skew the numbers. And I just wondered whether he was going to publish another set of numbers to kind of adjust it. Did he say anything about that?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to report a different set of numbers, but he will in his letter every year. He made a point of saying he will in his letter every year try and break out the accounting differences and the, you know, the values that rise and drop so rapidly with share prices and some of the things that go along with that to try and break out the actual operations of the companies they own outright.
That'll be helpful.
He's got like 65 or 70 different businesses that Berkshire owns outright. And what he wants to make sure that shareholders understand is how those businesses are operating. And, and so I think he'll go out of his way in every letter from here on out to really make sure that they make a clear case for it, despite what the government requires or what the agencies require, SEC requires with accounting rules. He'll make a point of explaining to people what's happening.
I think the idea that what the government is doing is wrong, I think he thinks it's wrong as well. We won't get into the details.
You know, I'm not even sure he thinks it's wrong as much as it's wrong for Berkshire. Berkshire's a very unique company.
Yeah.
If you're not a company that, you know, Berkshire's got billions and billions of dollars in stocks that it owns.
Yeah.
And so that can really skew things.
Yeah.
I don't think he thinks the government's trying to do a bad thing, but it doesn't make sense for a diversified company like Berkshire.
Yeah, also other insurance companies. You mentioned Chubb, where they have stocks as well. So let's move on here. You know, Berkshire currently has a cash hoard of $116 billion that he's desperate to put to work, but he says that he can't really find anything right now at the right price. Is he saying the market is overvalued?
You know, Steve, it's so funny that you say that because when I read the letter, that's the same thing I thought. Wow, if Warren Buffett says that they can't find a business to buy, that must mean that stocks writ large are overvalued and that the stock market is getting into bubblicious territory. And I asked him that. And he said, no, that's not really the case, that they are still buying stock. The Berkshire is still actively buying shares of other companies. They've been net buyers in the year to date for the first couple of months of the year. But he can't find a business that he wants to buy outright because in order to buy an entire company, you have to be willing to pay a premium. So if you're looking at paying a 15, 20, 30, 40% premium, Then he thinks that things are overvalued. But he said, if you're just somebody who's buying individual shares, you know, that's still worth doing. And even, you know, he at Berkshire is still putting money to work to the tune of billions of dollars that they've been. I think he said that they've spent $3 to $3.5 billion net at the beginning part of this year. And that's even with Phillips buying back some shares. So they've been spending billions of dollars in the market to buy individual pieces of companies. They just can't find a company, a big company that they'd like to buy outright and pay that premium.
It's harder to swallow the whole cow, you know? It just costs more, you know?
Right.
But buying individual stocks. So I thought his thinking was bifurcated there as well. And I wanted listeners to understand the difference because, you know, everybody, the pundits talk about, oh, the market's so overvalued and so on. So we want to know what Buffett is thinking about the stock market. And he's saying, no, you know, he's finding places to go and buy stocks. So I think that was very important.
I think so, too. That was one of the, one of the most important takeaways I took from it, because I went into that interview thinking he was going to say that stock prices were getting expensive, and that's not at all what he said.
So he's got $116 billion. He's really looking for a great market sell-off. Not that he's wishing for that, but that's when he buys his, gets his best deals. But there's other things that he can do with this $116 billion. He can establish, declare a dividend, and he talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Why won't he just do that?
I think, you know, he's always been against the idea of a dividend because he feels like if he can't make better use of it, the whole way Berkshire was set up was to, you know, create insurance companies in the beginning and that would kick off a float. And then he felt he could be a better investor and make more on that money than you'd be able to otherwise if he gave it back to you. He said he looks at Berkshire kind of as a savings account. And for the early investors, that's what it was. They gave all their excess money to him.
Yeah.
He found the best way to put it to use and to get a higher return on investment for people. I think he still feels that he can get a higher return on investment for people and that, you know, having that money away, sitting around for a rainy day serves a purpose. Berkshire really went to work back in 2008 and 2009 in the aftermath of the financial crisis. And you're right, the rainy days are the great days for Berkshire because they have the ability to stand in when everybody else is running for the exits. And because they are so conservative, they can really have a lot of excess cash that they can put to work in those times.
Yeah.
He didn't rule out the idea of ever having a dividend, but I think right now he still thinks that he's in a position of being able to eventually put that money better to use than giving it back to shareholders. The other things he's pointed out in the past about a dividend is that's not a tax advantageous situation for shareholders. You give them the money back and they're going to have to pay taxes on it. Whereas if you can reinvest it within the Berkshire entity, as shareholders, they're not paying taxes on those gains. They're just getting gains that are accumulated to the bottom line. But I was a little surprised by that too, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
That he didn't rule out the idea of a dividend because maybe there is a point where he feels like he can't make a better return on investment than just giving it back to shareholders.
Well, he also said it's an implied promise that you're going to keep paying forever, not decrease the dividend and so on. So he would even think of a repurchase. He's talked about that in the past, and he set a limit of 120% of book value as his number where he would come in. And I think that he, under special circumstances, he would increase that maybe to 125, 127%. Now, everybody, listen, you can go online and you can find out what the book value per share of Berkshire Hathaway is, both the A and the B shares, and you can multiply it times 125%, and you'll see the number that we're talking about. It's not rocket science. My guest is Becky Quick. Becky, of course, is the co-anchor of Squawk Box. We all love her. She's on Monday through Friday on CNBC and also the anchor of On the Money as well. All right, so let's talk about some of the little bit more sensitive issues around today. There were questions that you read from other watchers of your show about investing in gun manufacturers. What did he say about that?
Mm-hmm. You know, that's been a politically charged topic in the wake of the shootings at that school in Florida. And there have been calls for companies that are involved with either the selling or manufacture of guns to maybe put down some laws that don't look like they're very likely to pass Congress. Things like raising the age that you can buy guns at, things along those lines. And some companies have waded into that. Buffett says he's reluctant to play sides on some of these things because in some ways it can be a slippery slope, right? One person's rallying cry is you're stepping on someone else's toes. And I think he typically wants to keep Berkshire out of the fray with some of those things. Now, Warren Buffett is somebody who was very clear in his support of both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, but he says that he never wants to put his political beliefs on Berkshire shareholders or on the Berkshire companies. And so his point is like, look, there's a million other things that the board should be talking about. And by the way, they don't manufacture guns or weapons or sell them. So this is a little bit of a theoretical question when it comes down to it. But his point is that you can run down an entire gamut of issues that you're going to be dividing the country and basically alienating half your customers if you wade into some of these things. And he just doesn't want to put Berkshire as a company in that position.
Yeah, he said he has his own personal views, but they may or may not be Berkshire's views. I think he made that pretty clear. Okay, so let's talk about his bet. We only have a few minutes left. Let's talk about his bet with the hedge fund managers. That was 10 years ago. They both put up, I think, $300,000+, and the idea was to get it to $500,000, and then two of them together would have equaled $1 million. And he bet on the S&P 500, the unmanaged, low-cost S&P 500 index, and he bet against a fund manager, Protégé Partners, which had access to all, like 200 of the best and brightest hedge funds. How did they do?
Well, Buffett blew the hedge fund managers out of the water with his simple bet on the S&P 500. And this is a point he's been trying to illustrate for years, Steve. You know this too. Just the idea that average investors are going to get taken advantage of by Wall Street. Because if you're an average investor, you're not going to be able to get, he says he probably only knows about five hedge fund managers or five managers in the world who would be able to outperform the S&P 500 on a regular basis.
Wow.
So most of us are not going to have access to that.
Yeah.
And if you are paying for someone to manage your money, you are paying often a big fee, maybe 250 basis points or more to get them to manage, to move you in and out of stocks, to take advantage of all these things, to make decisions all the time. And so the point is, we're not experts. We shouldn't be trying to do this. We've all got day jobs. This is not our job.
Right.
So just put your money aside. Don't worry about it. Let it go. And you'll do better. He wanted to prove that you could do better by doing that. And so his point came out. I forget what the actual numbers are. I don't know if you have it right in front of you, but the S&P 500 blew it out of the water.
Yeah, well, the S&P 500 was up 8.5%, and the average of the managers was 2.9%.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not even close.
On an annualized basis, right.
Annualized.
And so he keeps trying to prove to people, you don't have to pay Wall Street to do all these things. You don't have to be super sophisticated. That if you are simply an investor with a long-term outlook and you have a lot of years to invest and you continue to put money aside and don't get panicked, don't sell just because
the
market's crashed.
Well, there's the key.
Right. Let it ride.
So I think he's talking about two separate things here. Number one, the actual money management itself, the day-to-day buying of stocks and other instruments just to try to outperform the S&P 500. Now, this may be a little bit biased because I am an investment advisor, but I can tell you for the 36 years that I've been sitting at this desk, people do need help with their emotions and making the right decisions.
He made that point, too, that like, look, the biggest thing is you need to be unemotional in getting into these things. You can't run and trade with it. And his whole point is if you have that ability to be unemotional in those trades, then this is what you should do. But you're right. There are a lot of people who want to sell when everybody else is. They panic. They see it on nightly news and they want to immediately run out and sell just because everybody else is running. And that's the wrong thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Becky, thank you for joining us. You know, to hear this interview again, to read the facts covered on this topic, we'll also give you a link to the annual report from Warren Buffett so you can read it for yourself. It's incredibly readable and it's really for all of us to sit. And there's lots of other lessons there about trading on margin and so on and so forth. Don't forget to go to stevepomerantz.com. Becky Quick, thank you so much for taking your time to join us today.
Steve, thank you. It's always a pleasure. So thank you for the time. I appreciate it.